When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back. 1 o'clock hour, the Connor Happer Show. You're on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. Connor Happer, Josh Hodson with you. We're joined now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline by our good friend Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. Sam, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. I'm talking to the guy who had Jacory Barney number 2 on his Super 6 list. And you look pretty good for having done that.
Interesting. Did I have him the highest?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about taking that victory lap today. Wow. Thank you for the reminder, Sam. Now I'm going to start it.
You got a victory lap to take. Because, you had him highest, for sure. Some people had him as a sleeper, and I don't think that counts.
No, he was too good to be a sleeper.
There's no 4-star sleep.
No.
The people were like, I'm going to put him as a sleeper. He's not a sleeper. No. He was a 4-star recruit.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
You had him number 2. So you were like, I am doubling down on this man's stars. And he had a great game on Saturday.
And who did I have as number 1? Tell everybody that, too. Now, a lot of people had this, but I also had that one right.
Dylan?
Yeah, definitely yeah. Dylan Raiola, yes.
Yeah.
Some people tried to get cute, Sam, not me. I keep it real.
They did. I that one's almost like the free one. if you decide not to take the tap in free, then you take the risk.
Yeah, I marked off the free space on the bingo card.
That's right. But your second one was pretty darn good. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We could start there. I mean, that feels like a pretty good weapon that Nebraska is going to have at their disposal. I mean, you can get into a conversation about the wide receiver room in general and how improved it is from last year. But like, I was kind of struck by the depth at that position. And obviously it's all tied to the quarterback, but I mean, it seems like they're going to have some real playmakers at that spot, ones which we've seen, and then some that we haven't seen here yet also.
Yeah, for sure. I think they feel good about that room, better than they did last year. But some of the young guys who played last year played because of injuries, and that's going to pay off now. You know, Jalen Lloyd is probably a better football player because he had to go through some of the things he had to go through last year. And if Xavier Betts doesn't leave and Marcus Washington doesn't get hurt and ITC doesn't get hurt, I don't know that we see Jalen Lloyd. And so he doesn't know what it's like yet. But now he does. And he does know what it's like. And I thought he played quite nicely on Saturday. Barney brings a lot of skill sets to the table. He's just a pure athlete. He played a lot of wildcat quarterback in high school. He reminds me a little bit of Jamal Turner in that way. Like, I think he's going to be somewhat similar to Jamal Turner, maybe a little bit quicker than Turner was, but similar player, I think, would be the way that I would put that. And, you know, I think they've just gotten a little better there. You know, I think they're, you know, the kid from that transferred in from Texas, he can run.
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, you always got to keep context in mind. Texas had a receiver taken in the first round and the second round. And those guys played a lot of football for Texas, and they were the lead receivers. And so, you know, the other guy didn't have a chance to play much. And we'll see with Jamal Banks. I think he's going to be a physical red zone kind of guy. I don't know he's going to be your over-the-top guy. But I like the picture at that position. Obviously got to stay healthy. Have to keep everybody in line. Want to get Malachi Coleman back. I think he's an important addition to that because he is a guy that can take the top off. But, you know, I think they feel good Jaden Doss was playing at corner, and last year Jaden Doss was like their number five receiver.
I know.
Alex Bolt was playing on the second team on Saturday. He was on the white team, and that was kind of the second team offense. And, you know, Alex Bolt was playing on that team, and that was, you know, he's a second team receiver. He's going to have to battle for a starting job as it stands right now. And so I think Nebraska feels good about where it's at that position. Tight end looked pretty good. Running back, the one thing I'll say for the running backs, Connor, is they ran hard, and I appreciate that. They didn't have to. They probably could have, you know, tiptoed their way through that, and everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulders. But I thought they played with the leading edge, and I thought that, you know, when they went against Nebraska linebackers, they won those battles more often than not. So I thought the offense came to play.
Was there anything about Raiola that you didn't think we'd get a good picture of or a good glimpse of that we did get on Saturday, or was he kind of just like, as advertised, that's kind of what I thought he would bring to the table?
I thought he did a nice job of throwing the quick stuff, getting the ball out. He got one to Hall, and Hall had to come back in for it, but that's what you want to do on that play. You're okay with him kind of coming in a yard, because it's not quite a tunnel screen, but it gives you a little bit of room to run. So I thought he did a nice job there. I think he got pretty good protection for the most part.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think he did some of the things that I would expect him to do. There's room to grow. He floated a couple balls that, you know, you're not going to be able to do that
right
this season. There's going to be guys there to pick that off. So, you know, I think he's got a good feel for the game. I think he has a sense of where guys are going to be. And so what I would say about him is there's probably a preternatural understanding of just space. And sometimes it looks like he's being a little lackadaisical with his operation. And I don't know that it's that. I think he's probably just maybe a quarter second ahead, and he can. And one thing you can see, he's clearly internalized Patrick Mahomes, and that's mostly a good thing. One thing that Mahomes likes to do, and other quarterbacks like to do it too now, is they don't want to tip off where they're throwing the ball, and so their body energy is kind of low key when they wind up, and his body energy is a little low key. And he'll probably have to work on that a little bit, but Mahomes is such that, and Mahomes can do a lot of things. Obviously, his body energy is very high level when he's scrambling around, but when he's just in the pocket, you know, he can almost pull that ball up, and you don't know where he's going with it. It's like a point guard. And I think Raiola's got some of that. Like, he's able to make a throw, and it just it's kind of like a cobra striking. You don't really see it coming, and then throw to Bullock, for example, in the middle of the field. That was like a cobra strike. You don't really think that's coming, and there it is. So stuff like that. He's got an arm that makes those kinds of surprises possible. And so, yeah, I thought he did a really nice job of managing the whole thing. And then I thought his press conference was pretty good, too.
Me too.
That stuff matters. I thought he handled that pretty well. You know, he didn't overdo it. He wasn't goofy. But he wasn't so laconic that it was like it wasn't a big deal. I thought he did a nice job with talking to the media, and that's part of the job too.
Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, I'd definitely rather have him calm than frantic. And then I think about Nebraska's offense last year and how frantic it was, and we've gone over and over about its kind of boom or bust nature. Like, the thing that I was looking for, we knew that we were going to get the big arm plays and the splash type of plays. That's where the ceiling is for him. But I'm totally with you. The press conference stuff, and the demeanor, and, you know, the simple stuff. He had a couple throwaways, Sam, that I was like, yeah, that's the right choice. He feels advanced in that category for a freshman even of his caliber.
Yeah, I think he's probably spent a lot of time thinking about the position and how to play it. He certainly looked like he had, again, There's qualities about his game. He's obviously watched a lot of football. I think all that helps. He's internalized some of Mahomes' movements. There was one where he was scrambling, and he went and found, I think it was sometimes the way that Mahomes, again, he tucks his chin when he's going to scramble. And it's almost like he's tucking his body backward a little bit when he runs so he can kind of keep his equilibrium and his balance when he's throwing the ball. And really did that. Like, it's just an interesting movement. And if you were to watch Patrick Mahomes scramble and just go and look at a YouTube video, you know what I'm talking about. Like, he has this, he pauses for a half second, and then he goes and he gets out of the pocket. It's a quality that not every quarterback has. Some quarterbacks, I'm not saying paint by numbers, but they just have a, hey, I'm going to do this the way you're supposed to do it.
Mm.
And Brill is, got some skills on him that allow him to maybe cut a corner or two, and I don't mean that in a bad way. He just he's able to do some things with the ball that maybe not all quarterbacks are able to do.
Yeah. Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald is with us here on the Connor Hamper Show on 1620 The Zone. I one of my takeaways, I think, big picture from the offense, this isn't just from the spring game, and keep in mind, I guess we're comparing it to last year. I feel like depending on which quarterback was in there, and obviously the skill position guys are, I think, like we said, a year better. Offensive line is probably a year better as well. I feel like the coaching staff has a really good understanding. Like, they have a good self-scout, right? They know kind of who their quarterback is and what that guy can do in any given moment. I think they were, so hamstrung last year at times. But what Heinrich was doing was not – exactly what Dylan Raiola was doing, and what Kalen was doing was at his level as well. I wonder what you think that means, or if you noticed that, and what you think that means for this group and how far it can take them this year when Raiola is their quarterback.
Well, I think there's something to be said for needing more than just one guy, and they know that. I think you have to have multiple guys ready. At a moment's notice. I think one thing Nebraska's never really done that I would like to see them do more of is have a second quarterback, that being Harburg, that can get you some stuff done physically in the run game. If you bring him in third and short, everybody kind of knows what he's in there to do, but he's still pretty good at doing it, and he can throw. Creating a role for Harburg that's meaningful and also impactful. So I think the team can go a long way if you kind of make sure you know what you're doing with Dylan and you're running the kind of offense you want to run with him and simultaneously trying to use your number two to maybe do some different things. I think all those options are in play. So much of what a quarterback has to get done is related to the people around him. If you look at the quarterbacks who were in the college football playoff, they had tremendous talent at their disposal. I think Dylan's better than one of those quarterbacks now. Not to knock Jalen Milroe at all, but I think Dylan's a better passer than Milroe is, probably now. And, the other three had incredible players at their disposal, NFL draft picks, all the rest. So, You need to surround a quarterback with everything, all the pieces. And then, you got to get him to lock in. And then you have to have depth. Like, all of these layers have to come together. And then so much time and energy is put into one game and one preparation. And then you have to turn right around and do it again. So there's so many different parts to getting that thing right. Last year, they really struggled to get it right because of the players they had and also the injuries and all the rest. I think what they hope for is that they can get it right this year.
Yep. Sam, how do you think they, if anything, what do you do about the kicking situation this summer leading into the fall?
Outside of getting another player, I don't really know that there's much you can do.
Right.
I think you're going to have to live with it, and you're going to have to figure out, what the deal is there, why there's struggles. Why your kicker pulled the ball twice, and he did. He pulled it, foul ball on both from the right hash mark, and not sure why, and you have to kind of figure those things out. I'm sure they'll give it a shot. I don't think they're square at kicker, and I don't think they're totally square at punter.
Mm-hmm.
I, I just don't. I think you have to. That's a week in, week out kind of operation, and you know, unlike the NFL, you're stuck with the guys you got once the season begins. So they're gonna have to figure it out. You know, keep working with them. Again, it wasn't discussed much during spring camp. We didn't ask real much about it. You know, Foley obviously is the expert there, but head coach has got to be there, and he's got to be a part of that conversation. And you know, like if it were me, I wouldn't have a kicker talking to anybody until he makes some kicks.
Yeah,
that'd be a way I'd do it. Not everybody's like that, but I would. Make some kicks, and then we'll put you out there in fall camp. Like, go make a game-winning kick or something like that, and then we'll put you out there. Because I think there's a lot of confidence there, and I appreciate that, but you got to go out and make kicks. So you do that, and, you know, like, you got to do that first.
Yeah.
So
and they ask questions, and like, you know, that stuff gets in your head, too. It's tough to put a kicker out there. It's admirable, but, like, you know, it's tough for the guy to go up there and answer all the questions when he doesn't probably know what's going on.
Sure, there's that. You know, I mean, again, they I think this guy is a distance guy, right? Like you want to make him from distance, but you know, you want to tell your quarterback, hey, hold the ball down, let's go get three. And, you know, you tell him that, and then the guy goes out and misses it. Well, what your quarterback can internalize based on that is, well, we ain't going to get three.
Mm-hmm. Now I got to do something.
Going in. I got to go do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not making three. So your kicker has to instill confidence in the quarterback and all those other things. You have to, you know, and to like, Matt Rule can talk about this way more intelligently than I can. He understands how you win football games. And so, like, how you win close games and how you win low-scoring games. And there's a logic behind, let's get three here, let's do what we need to do, let's put it on the board. Personally, I don't think, for example, the Detroit Lions coach understood that last year. I've never asked Rule, and I should have asked him whether he would have taken the field goals in those two circumstances. But, like, I think there's just things that, you know, that you do when you have an opportunity, except your kicker needs to make the kick. And we'll see how that goes.
All right, Sam, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, take care.
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald, who makes many great points.
One of the smartest we have here locally.
About the brain of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I didn't even think about that, Josh, but he makes an excellent point, as he always does.
You could take a victory lap if you so chose.
I'm doing the honorable thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at the Super Six and, you know, where people voted. So, I mean, we don't know everything at this point. Not even the whole class is here yet.
Nope.
But the conglomerate media Super Six was as follows. Dylon.
Makes sense.
Carter Nelson.
Sure.
Grant Bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Benning,
yep.
Dante Dowdle, Micah Mazuka. Those are your six. Transfers and freshmen could all be in here.
Heard some of those names.
You have?
On Saturday.
You should have. To be fair, a couple of the 24/7 sports folks, Mike Schaefer and Michael Bruns.
Yeah, they're good people over there.
Also had Ja'Cory Barney at number two.
Oh. Interesting.
Let's see. Did anybody else?
They copy off your paper?
No. If anything, I copied off of theirs because they were not specifically like their paper, but I know, you know, Schaefer and I talk all the time and he liked them. And so that informs. Let's see. No. Looks like we were the only three who had Barney at number two.
Well, you know, you're not afraid to go out on a limb.
No, I'm not. So the rest of my Super Six, if you're looking for people who are going to be good now, because I know.
Mm-hmm. You know ball.
Dylon, number one.
Dylon.
Ja'Cory. Barney, number two. Preston Taumua, who I believe was in there on Saturday. was at number three. Mazuka was four. Banks was five. And Caleb was six. Benning. And my sleeper.
Caleb, you know, Caleb, you know, Benning.
Caleb Benning. Mario Buford I had at number sleeper. Number sleeper. And yes, Sam is right. You can't put Barney, who was a high four star, at sleeper.
No.
No, you can't. Not allowed. But Ravi did that. Oh, Ravi.
Interesting.
This guy. And Evan Bland and Luke Mullen.
Can't do that, guys.
No, you come on. Give me a break.
Interesting that I wasn't asked, and I would not, but I know the rules better than people who did. Interesting.
Pull question up at Happer Show. Is Connor Happer afraid to go out on a limb?
That was recommended to us by Charles in the YouTube chat.
It does not appear so.
And I stole it.
Douglas writes in.
Hi, Douglas.
Please schedule an interview with Dom Raiola. He says Raiola, though, and his wife. And call their son Dylon. Maybe I missed class on the day that we all found out that that was funny.
Look.
It's annoying, Doug says.
For the 7,000th time.
It wasn't me. It was
Dylon.
Yeah.
There was a television show, wildly popular amongst people Connor and my's age, titled Chappelle's Show.
The Dave Chappelle Show.
In that show, there was a sketch where a young man named
Dylon
said, was asked, who are the best five rappers of all time? And he said,
Dylon.
Five times and added it at the end.
Because I spit hot fire.
That's why we call Dylon Raiola, Dylon.
But is it funny?
I don't care. It's a pop culture reference. We don't have a lot of drops on this show
because
my back is to the drops most of the show.
We should get Dom on and be like, hey, I want to come clean here. I call your son Dylon.
I think.
What do you think he would say? I bet he would be like,
that's kind of weird, okay.
He's like, why do you do that? And we would explain him the whole bit. And then he'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think he'd care.
I don't think he'd care either. But we should try. Mm-hmm. He is a friend of the show, by the way. He's come on the show
before. He'll be on again. Mm-hmm. Breaking news out of the National Football League.
Wait, one more Dylon text.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
I even call him Dylon, and my wife looked at me like I was an idiot.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah. You're going to do that. I got people in the – I'm sitting there doing Creighton stuff over the weekend. Guys come in the press box. I can't see when they come into the door. Grab my shoulders and they go, Dylon.
All right. You got some weird coworkers.
Grown
over there.
Men with tears in their eyes. They're all doing that. What's going on in the NFL?
Breaking
Josh?
News out of the National Football League. You're going to have to deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're going to have to deal with Travis Kelce, as he and the Chiefs have agreed on a new 2-year contract extension that makes him the NFL's highest paid tight end.
I wasn't really worried about us not having to deal with him.
Right.
So I wasn't mentally prepared.
Well, there was talks that
he's going to retire and go swim off to another continent with Taylor.
With Taylor and his brother, who's on ESPN now. Mm. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Jason Kelce's going to do the Monday Night Football pregame.
How about that? All right. We'll come back. A couple things to clean up. Well, we still got the Fedoni bit that we could potentially still do tomorrow. I want to touch on a little baseball as well. All still to come on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. But this week we have a new zone deal, as we do every week. Le Voltaire is the zone deal of the week this week. Locally owned French restaurant serving the Omaha community for 22 years. Unpretentious down-home cooking, serving classic French dishes, handcrafted cocktails, and more. Lovely place with this week's zone deal. It's two $25 vouchers, which is, of course, a $50 value if you could do math or if you could talk, for only $25. On sale this Friday, which is May 3rd, is this Friday.
People forget.
I know it seems like months from now, but it's May 3rd on Friday at 9, 1620thezone.com.
Dylon.
The Connor Happer Show. Follow us on Twitter at Happer Show for all the latest news and views. We may even say something interesting once in a while.
Unlikely.
Really, guys?
Dylon.